Again, happy Sabbath, brethren. Thank you for all the everything that's been going on. I thank Elohim we could be together like this in His presence. We're not coming to do man-made things, but we're coming to be what Elohim wants us to be. He wants us to be His disciples, His obedient people who live according to His word, to do His will, to be His representatives on this earth, to represent Him, His ways, as His organization, as His congregation of Elohim, as the body of Messiah, being united by His Spirit, being made close, not by anything of man, but by the things of Elohim, the things being revealed by the Spirit. The very work itself of working together is a great deal of what unites us. In the world, people are attracted by what they see, by what they hear in the flesh of another human being. But we are being united by the common interest, growing interest in Elohim and love for Him, our hope for Him, our faith in Him, our love for Him. That's what's uniting us. And as we put our hands to the plow to serve Him, to be a light, we will grow in that unity, in that love. Just like the apostles did. They didn't have TV, any electronic devices to see each other. They were far apart. They would send letters and to each other, and when they could come, they would visit. But they all loved each other, even though they were apart. And so we're being trained to do the same things, so that when He does, so that when Elohim does allow us, when He sees that we are really ready, and not to repeat the same mistakes we've made in the past or the mistakes that others do, when we're fully equipped, He will open the doors for us to meet, to have in-person services. That is a hope and goal that we also have. In-person services to be a light in our local communities, to be able to come together and hold wonderful holy day services together. You know, there are a lot of wonderful things for us to do as we grow in His knowledge. So looking at Paul in his journey, how Paul, I realized as I was going over this, how he, when he returned to Jerusalem to do the service and met with the brethren of like mind for Pentecost, and he obeyed their reasonings, their advice to him to purify himself with fellow brethren and to go to the temple. So he was with his brethren. Then he was attacked and captured by a mob of Jews, falsely accusing him, and he made his defense before them. Then by the intervention of the Romans, a centurion saved Paul from them. And he gave his defense to Paul. And Paul gave his defense to him, to the centurion, and to all who was listening. Then Paul was sent to, and all of this happened that I just said happened in chapter 21, chapter 22, but in chapter 23 now, in front of the Romans, in front of the centurions in chapter 23, verses 1 to 35, we see that Paul was unjustly arrested, and he was struck in the face. He was falsely accused by the chief priests and the council of the Jewish people there, as we see in verses 1 to 2. We're not going to read those things because Brother Hosafel already did chapter 23 and chapter 24, but I'm going to do a review to lead us to chapter 25. So that was in verses, then in verse 3 and 5, we see Paul's response and shows that he obeyed the law. He said that he lived by the words of Elohim. He says, then said Paul unto him, Elohim smite you, you whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and and commendest me to be smitten contrary to the law. And they that stood by said, revilest thou Elohim's high priest? Then said Paul, I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, you shall not speak evil of the ruler of your people. So it's Paul was obedient to the law, and his response there shows that he understood. And we had looked at in the book of Leviticus that even though we may do something unknowingly by ignorance, ignorance does not spare us from being guilty. We would still be guilty in the sight of Elohim even when we do something ignorantly. And so it's by his grace we can stand as we repent in Messiah. Because we would still stand guilty. There's no sacrifice to be offered. And the mercies of David are not afforded to, were not afforded to the rest of Israel. The mercies of David were only available to the priestly line, to the kingly line, and so on. So everyone else, apart from the priest and the king, if you did certain things, if you sinned, you were guilty and you had to offer a sacrifice. So the general populace of Israel did not have the mercies of David, but the mercies of David are extended to us and more than the mercies of David through Messiah. So continuing, we saw that Paul intelligently spoke about his faith in the resurrection, which caused the Jewish multitude consisting of Pharisees and Sadducees to be divided and to strive, causing a great dissension. That's in verse 6 and 9 of chapter 23. Paul was rescued from the Jews by a Roman commander and secured in the barracks or castle or fort as seen in verse 10. So they were attacking him unjustly, but the Romans came in to set order in things. So Paul was secured by a Roman captain from death at the hands of certain Jews who had bound themselves to an oath to neither eat or drink until they kill Paul, as seen in verses 12 to 23. So the captain organized 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, 200 spearmen to bring Paul by night at the third hour, that's about 9 p.m., to Caesarea safely to be tried by governor or proconsul Felix. Okay? And to do that, he wrote an explanatory letter to Felix so that on Paul's arrival, Governor Felix would know exactly what the matter was. That's found in verses 12 to 23. So, what the captain of the Roman guard did once he understood of the plot against Paul to kill him. And we've read all of that, so I'm not going to go through the text, but if you haven't read it, read chapter 23 and you will see those points. So in another thing like we saw is that he wrote this letter. Now just a little bit about Felix. We're reading about Felix. He's not the host, Felix. This is Antonius Felix. He was a Roman governor or procurator of Judea appointed by Claudius. And that was, a historian put it around 52 to 53 AD, around then. So when Felix arrived at Caesarea, I'm sorry. When they arrived, because they took Paul and were sending him to Caesarea to be tried by Felix. So when they arrived at Caesarea, they gave Felix the letter and presented Paul to him. Now, after Felix read the letter and found out that Paul is of Cilicia, he told Paul he would hear him when his accusers arrived and ordered him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. You see, so here, when we contrast again how the Jewish leaders were dealing with this in such an unjust, unlawful way, and then you watch the Gentiles, this Gentile nation, the Romans, come in and set things right, doing things in an organized way. They were functioning in a way to be as impartial as their law permitted, as we see in verses 24 to 35 of chapter 23. They took Paul, kept him safe, and at the same time, they did not try him until his accusers would come. They wanted to hear all sides of the matter before making any type of decision. They wanted to be as fair as possible. The same thing, you can see the same thing in chapter 24, verses 1 to 7. He says, on arriving after 5 days, that's Ananias, the high priest, and the elders, they falsely accused Paul before Felix by means of Tertullus, who was an orator. And an orator, as mentioned before, is an eloquent public speaker who's trained in presenting arguments, as we see in verses 1 through 9. So when Paul, after hearing this, Paul was given permission to speak. So in so doing, you can see how Paul respectfully acknowledged Felix. He didn't disdain him, treat him in any disdainful way as some pagan or anything of such thing, but he acknowledged him respectfully and then explained his innocence. He explained his innocence. Then he made his point how the Jews were unable to prove any of their accusation. And then he confesses that his manner of worshiping Elohim, he confesses that he believes all things written in the law and the prophets, and that he has hope towards Elohim, that there will be a resurrection of the just and of the unjust. Also to have a pure conscience void of offense to Elohim and people. And so he's setting the standard on how a new covenant, Yeshua said that, but he's exemplifying, he's being a model of what a true new covenant believer is. Believing all things, we are worshipers of Elohim, believing all things written in the law of prophets. We have hope towards Elohim. And we know that there will be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. And we have a conscience. We live and behave such that our conscience is free of offense to Elohim and to our fellow mankind. And we see Paul expressing this in verses 10 of 6 to 16 of chapter 24. Another thing we saw there is that Paul explained how he came to Jerusalem, his nation, to bring alms and offering. And he was there purified in peace. Not, you know, in any being unruly or doing anything wrong. He brought alms and was in peace in the temple. Paul asserts he was arrested only because of his faith or proclamation in the resurrection, as we see in verse 17 and 21. So now Felix, having heard both the Jewish leaders' accusations and Paul's defense, now Governor Felix ended the meeting. Why? Why? To hear until Lysias, the chief captain, can come to give his side of the whole matter. We see this in Acts 17 to 21 and verses 22 to 23. He wanted to hear the centurion's side, the chief captain's side of this. So he wanted to hear Paul's accusers, he wanted to hear Paul's defense, and he wanted to hear the captain of the guard. Why? Because the captain of the guard was the one who intervened, right? So that's a very decent example of a just system of trying a legal matter. Right? So he says, until Lysias, the chief captain, can come to give his knowledge of the whole matter. And then he also ordered a centurion to keep Paul safe and to give him freedom and to allow his acquaintances to visit and provide and tend to Paul's needs, as we see in verses 22 and 23. Was that the treatment Paul got when he was captured by the Jewish leaders? No. Again, by the time of the first century, the whole Jewish system was corrupt. The leadership was just corrupt. And this is why we see all of these things. This would have not happened was it in the time of Solomon or the time of David, or if it was before Elijah or Moses. This wouldn't have happened. Not at all. But the system had become, just as Jeremiah says, and reflected in the book of Hebrews, the old covenant was literally deteriorating and falling apart to the point at this stage, the Ark of the Covenant wasn't even there. All of this was telling of where Elohim was with the nation of Israel. He, at this point, it was the fulfillment of prophecy, of all the things written towards the end, bringing an end to Jerusalem, that great day that the prophet so spoke about that would one day come upon Jerusalem was on its way to happen. So the whole system, the whole covenant was deteriorating, and by the time the book of Hebrews was written, it was already deteriorated. It was seen as basically over, and the new covenant was in place. As we saw at Messiah's resurrection, as we saw on the day of Pentecost, so many thousands being brought into the covenant. Those who were of the heart, those who loved Elohim, were being brought into the covenant. A covenant where the law was to be written on their hearts and minds, not by men, not by study, not by hearing rabbis or any sectarian teacher, but by the Spirit of Elohim writing the law in their hearts and their minds. So this is what happened here. And then Felix took opportunity to learn from Paul of the faith. Of the faith in Messiah, of righteousness, of temperance, and the coming judgment. And on hearing these things, Felix feared and sent Paul away for another time. Now, everything seems good right there, fairly decent, but then Felix's faults are also recorded here. So he kept calling Paul now from that point on, hoping to receive bail money from him. So he kept calling him the more often, as we see in here in between verse 24 and 26 of chapter 24. He was hoping to hear bail money. And also, after 2 years of this, since then, Paul was kept in prison for 2 years since. And then Porcius Festus came to Felix, who kept Paul bound to please the Jews, as seen in verse 26 of chapter 24. So this is how, you know, Paul was, what Paul had to endure so far, being accused and attacked by the people, having to give testimony before the people, having to give his testimony before the centurion, having to give his testimony before the chief priests, and before Felix, and now Festus has come. And now we're going to continue a little bit in chapter 25 and see what we can see. What's going on with Festus? Now, who is Festus? Festus actually would become Felix's successor as Roman governor over Judea. And historians have this between AD 55 and 60. So then, let me turn to 25. We're coming to a close of the book of Acts. We've been doing this for quite a while, and I'm really surprised that we're coming to the close, actually. So just a few more chapters, we'll be done with the book of Acts. Now, in Acts chapter 25, I want to read verses 1 to 22 and then go back quickly. Now, when Festus had come to the province after 3 days, he went up to Caesarea to Jerusalem. Now, I want to just say something. Notice it says he went up to Caesarea. He went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem. So there's an ascent. Remember, all of this is in the land of Israel. But Jerusalem was on a hill, and that's why, I don't know if it's a little hill, if it's a high hill or mountain, but you had to walk upwards towards Jerusalem, and when you were leaving Jerusalem, you would descend, and you will see that language in the text as you read. They're venturing in and out of Jerusalem. So they ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Verse 2. Then the high priest and the chief men of the Jews informed him against Paul, and they petitioned him. So they were already polluting Festus's mind. But let's keep reading. So asking a favor against him, that he would summon him to Jerusalem while they lay in ambush along the road to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, and that he himself was going there shortly. Therefore, he said, let those who have authority among you go down with me and accuse this man to see if there is any fault in him. And when he had remained among them more than 10 days, he went down to Caesarea. And the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, he commanded Paul to be brought. When he had come, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood about and laid many serious complaints against Paul, which they could not prove, while he answered for himself neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar, have I offended in anything at all. That was his defense. But Festus, wanting to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and there be judged before me concerning these things? Then Paul said, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you very well know. For if I am an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I do not object to dying. But if there is nothing in these things of which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, you have appealed to Caesar? To Caesar you shall go. I said to verse 22, didn't I? Stop at verse 12. So let's go back. So we know Festus was a man of authority in Judea. And all these people, whether it was Felix or Festus, they were all put in authority by the Roman authorities. So when Festus had, it says when, so Festus came down after 3 days, he went up to Caesarea to Jerusalem. Okay? Then the high priest and the chief priest informed him against Paul, and they petitioned him. So he went there, and if you notice, this is where he's just introduced. So he's just a man of authority who happened to have gone to Jerusalem. So the high priest had no success trying to convince Felix, so now they're trying to convince him. They're trying to convince Festus to stand against Paul. So they were asked, they asked a favor that they would summon him to Jerusalem while they lay in ambush along the road to kill him. So there was no sense of fair trial in their mind. They just want him dead. There was no sense of saying, we want you to hear him and you will see he is guilty so we can kill him. But no, just please grant us this favor. You know, pretend that he's going to go to, that you'll summon him to Jerusalem and then we'll hide somewhere and then we'll ambush and kill him. Wow. That's the thought. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself was going there shortly. And I know that this was not by any virtue of Festus, but it's by the working of the Spirit of Elohim. Because we know Yeshua had already told them, you're going to Rome. You're going to the Gentiles to present my name and my word before them. So he said, let those in authority among you go down with me. So he didn't ask for just anybody. It's those who had authority to make decisions. He didn't want bystanders and just those who were of authority, who had a legal say, a proper say in such matters, to go down and to accuse this man. But he said to see if there is any fault in him. You see, so he's not subscribing to what the Jewish leaders wanted, to just kill him. He wants to see, is there any fault in him, which is reasonable. And when he had remained among them more than 10 days, he went to Caesarea. That's interesting. So this shows he's kind of a man with a strong character, because he stayed with him this long, but not so strong character, because watch what he's going to do, because he stayed with them 10 days. So that's why we got to watch our company. Notice he took a strong stance here and says, no, this man is going to be kept to Caesarea. We're not going to send him to Jerusalem so you could kill him. He's going to stay there and we will go bring the case and see if there's any fault in him. But watch what happens now. He spends 10 days with the wrong crowd, and what happens? Let's see. So it says, then 10 days he went down, after 10 days with them, he went down to Caesarea, and the next day, on the 11th day, sitting on the judgment seat, he commanded Paul to be brought. And when he had come, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood about and laid many serious complaints against Paul. Now, mind you, this is 2 years after Felix tried him. You understand? This is sometime 2 years after in some days. So they brought serious complaints against Paul. They couldn't prove any of it. But Paul himself says, neither against the Jews, neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar, have I offended in anything at all. Remember the epistle, I believe it's, I forgot who said it, one of the apostles said, be at peace, pursue peace at all possible, be at peace with all men. We should not be people striving. This is a true servant of Elohim, will not strive. We're commanded not to strive with others. We present the word in peace and in love, that's it. We don't argue with people. We do not do things like that. The congregation of Elohim does not argue with people. If you notice, Paul never argued with anybody. The apostles never argued with anybody. Yeshua never argued with anybody. As long as he was free to move on, as long as they were free to move on, when a person rejected the word, they just moved on. The only time they would put up a defense, and their defense is by their word, not by their fist or anything, is they would defend themselves in all sincerity. And so they live in such a way that they can defend themselves in all sincerity. You know, so that we don't, many times we all have suffered. And I believe one of the speakers, probably Felix, Brother Felix, our host, mentioned now, I believe it was in his prayer or something he stated, many of the troubles, pains we get are things we bring upon ourselves. And it's true. Because our imperfections, we're all imperfect beings. And so, we need to be very careful not to create situations to bring suffering and unnecessary rejection. We must make sure we're living in such a way that we don't push people away from the word of Elohim by our own personal choices, our own personal ways, our own personal habits, and then we say, oh, they're rejecting the word. No, sometimes if we're not careful, they're not rejecting the word, they're rejecting us because of our ways. Because we need to present the ways of Elohim in a perfect way. We are to be his exemplars of truth, of righteousness, of temperance, of hope, of faith and love. That's what we're supposed to be. There's no room for this is me. There's no room for this is how I was raised. There is no room for this is my culture. All these things are put to death in the name and for the sake and love of Yeshua our Savior. There's no such thing as the flesh creeping in to do such things. And so Paul could stand here and in all clear conscience make his case. Put his defense. I offended in anything at all. I've not offended in anything at all, he said. And we must strive to be there. We know we're not Paul. We don't have the power of the Spirit to the degree that he has, but we can all humble ourselves and cry out to the Spirit to make us better. We have to stop trusting in our own strength, but to seek the power of the Spirit to make us what we ought to be, because there's no other way that's going to succeed. For now, the scepter of Yeshua is one that brings repentance. It is not the 10th day yet. The 10th day has not yet come for him to sit on that great throne to pass final judgment. As our brother John read from that portion in Revelation, that day has not yet come. Right now his scepter is a scepter that's, you could say, dashing the nations, but not the way many think. He's dashing the ways of the nations. He's letting them fall into their own snares. The snare that they have prepared falls upon they're caught in their own snares until they learn to repent. Until one day, even in Jerusalem, there was a Baruch Haba B'Shem Yudhei Vavei. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Eternal. That's when Messiah will return. He says, you will not see my face again until you learn. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Eternal. So he's not going to come when everybody is really at rest the way people, in entirely the way it's come, people are saying. He's going to come at the right time. At the right time where the sheep are the sheep and the goats are the goats. And he will destroy then the armies that come against him. He will destroy the beast that comes. But now he is preparing a people. He's preparing our hearts. He wants to bring the nations, the individuals, the families to repentance. So let's do our job. Let's be his congregation. We don't join the congregation. We don't ask people to join. No one can join the congregation of Elohim. We saw that clearly in the book of Acts. We see that clearly throughout the Old Testament. It is only Elohim that can enjoin a person to his congregation, to his body. And he does that by the changing of that person's heart and minds, and write his law in their hearts so that they will keep his law, love his commandments, serve him, and worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what it's about. So we can have a good report among all men, as it says. And then Paul says, and Felix says, but remember what I said. Notice what Festus said in verse 4. Paul will stay in Caesarea, right? So he can receive a fair trial. But now he spent 10 days with the wrong crowd. Now he says in verse 9, but Festus wanting to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and there be judged before me concerning these things? Remember, he wanted to do the Jews a favor. What was that favor? That favor was in Verse 2 of the chapter. Then the high priest and the chief priest men of the Jews informed him against Paul, and they petitioned him, asking a favor against him, that he would summon him to Jerusalem while they lay in ambush along the road to kill him. Festus was influenced by the company he kept, and now he wanted to do them that favor. We don't know what happened in those 10 days. We could be sure that they were influencing his thinking, probably trying to offer him money and so on, right? Who knows? But they influenced him somehow that now he was willing to do them a favor. Forget the justice. I'm going to do the Jews a favor, so, and you know, even if it costs Paul's life, but by the Spirit of Elohim, Paul says, then Paul said, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat. Therefore, I ought to be where I ought to be judged. To the Jews, I have done no wrong, as you very well know. See, he defended himself. He's not being obnoxious, rude, but he's telling it like it is. He says, you know this. You know I'm innocent. You know I've asked. So I'm going to go to Caesar and appeal. What does that tell us? In my life, I've worked. I've had several jobs, careers even. And I would realize over the years a few things, and some of you probably realize the same thing, that the middleman is always kind of tough, always has something to defend, trying to prove a point, while the CEO somehow is so calm and cool. I experienced that at a large bank I used to work for. The CEO, I met him, he was such a gentleman, so, you know, humble. You know, and I said, so Caesar, Paul is appealing to Caesar. Remember, Rome is that fourth beast that Daniel saw. Rome is that iron half of the statue that the king dreamt of, right? The multi-metal. Rome is that. Who set that up? The devil? No. Elohim was the one who set all those kingdoms, beginning with Babylon all the way to Rome. Who's in charge of Rome? Elohim is. Elohim is. And Paul knows this. All governments are subject to Elohim. So Paul says, I stand before Caesar's judgment seat, and that's where he'll be judged. So let's end here. It says, and he says this, and that's the pure conscience he has. He says, for if I am an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I do not object to it. See, there are people that have committed crimes and they claim to be believers, but they're not willing to pay the penalty for their crimes. You know, they'll try to appeal and do all of this. No, that's not how it works. Though Elohim provides us forgiveness to enter the kingdom or be accepted or have our names written in the book of life for the second resurrection, it doesn't mean we are to evade the punishment justly due to us. Neither should we seek it. If by Elohim's grace we're spared, so be it. But if we commit crimes, whether just because we're believers, it doesn't mean we get scotched, we should be left off free. No. Paul says, if I am offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I do not object to dying. But if there is nothing in these things, but if he is innocent of all these accusations, no one can deliver me to them. Notice how he speaks. Remember how Yeshua spoke? No one, you would have no authority when he was before Pilate. He says, you would have no authority over me unless it was given to you from above. This, what Paul is saying is reflective of that sentiment. Why? Because his faith was in the words of Yeshua, who already told them what to expect, what would happen. So he knew that he would not be judged by the Jews. So he says, I appeal to Caesar. Then to end, Festus says, then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered. So he turned and, you know, had some discussion with the council. Who were the council? The At this point, I'm not sure if it's the Romans who were with him, the Romans or the elders. Most likely, it was probably Roman or either. I'm not sure. It doesn't say. But he conferred. But whatever happened, they agreed. He ends up. He said, "You have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar, you shall go." So we end here. So we've seen quickly. We've quickly reviewed chapter 23 to 24, where we saw Paul's various trials with the Jewish leaders, with the centurion, before Felix, and now we saw him before Festus. And again, we see a sense of justice where Festus subjects himself to the law. Even though he wanted to appease the Jews, but he subjected himself to Roman law, not to be put himself above the law. He didn't want to cross that line, and so he agreed to send Paul to Caesar to be judged there. So next Sabbath, the Eternal permitting, we'll finish it off and see what happens with another leader. Where Paul will be tried by another leader. Thank you for listening. Back to you, Brother Felix.